In today's show, we're going to be looking at the LA Clippers, their failure in the 1920 season, what it means for the offseason, a new coach, how we see the coming season playing out. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it, indeed.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today's episode is also brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. We are talking, of course, about the LA Clippers, a team with a new head coach heading into next season, and that is Ty Lue as their new coach. So lots of questions that you guys asked about this squad who, yeah, let's be honest, were quite disappointing in terms of their regular season finish in the NBA and what that might mean for moves that they make. They've got some big free agent questions that need to be answered as well. So let's answer some of those questions that you had, starting off with the guys over there on the Discord server. Dazza 006 says, would you bring Montrez Harrell back? And if so, what type of contract? Yes, I would, because if I'm the front office, I don't have Doc Rivers there anymore, completely overplaying him. I would bring him back, but I wouldn't want to spend huge amounts of money on Harrell. I think that you're looking at, yeah, if you get him at 3 years, $30 million, I'd be okay with that, with the understanding that he is going to be playing a smaller role, perhaps. And yeah, not because his usefulness, yeah, playing alongside Paul George and Kawhi Leonard in closing lineups is really limited. So I would be looking to bring him back, but I'm unlikely you can afford him or that he'll come back at that price. What are the thoughts on who they can grab via sign and trade or free agency to run point for them? That is something that has come out, that the Clippers are looking for a new point guard. Reggie Jackson is not that answer. Patrick Beverley is not that point guard in that sort of... Patrick Beverley works as a point guard when your shooting guard is James Harden, or if your shooting guard is Bradley Beal or someone like that, or your shooting guard slash point guard is Luka Doncic, someone that doesn't need to distribute or run an offense. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, they aren't those guys. And yeah, whoever else is starting, Landry Shamet, Marcus Morris, whoever, they're not those players who facilitate things. So finding that right option to be that guard who is an initiator, a play creator, it's really tough to do. Yeah, would they love a Fred VanVleet? Yeah, every team would. But how the hell are they executing that sort of a deal? That's the thing. Like, how do you do it? Is it you sign and trade Harrell to someone? Do you sign and trade Harrell to Charlotte and bring Terry Rozier back? Is he the guy that you want running things? Not really. He's not a great creator either. He's a high usage chucker who's not that efficient. So I'm not really sure who the right option is out there. Do they try, even like I said, D'Anthony Melton, but he's more in the Patrick Beverley mold of point guards, and he's probably not ready to step up into that zone. I'd tell you who I'd look at. If the Bulls are moving on from Thomas Satoransky, I think you can get him at a pretty cheap price. I reckon he'd work all right. He's a good distributor. He's a good knockdown catch-and-shoot shooter and a solid defender. That'd be someone that I'd be looking at if they can acquire him in a trade. Hey, I'd do it because I feel like his role is going to be pretty minimal for this upcoming season. Irv Dizzle says, what do they do with Marcus Morris? Is what they gave up to him or gave up to get him a sunk cost, or is he going to replace Harrell next season? Look, Marcus Morris... he's not that good. He tends to do well when he's given way too many opportunities for his talent level. And you look at his numbers, and he's 102nd ranked player for this last season. He played 31 minutes a night. He averaged 17 points. That's great. But when he came to the Clippers, he was the 227th ranked player. He averaged under 10 points and played 28 minutes. That is a more realistic expectation of what we see from Morris. Now, in the bubble games, he was the 120th ranked player. Remember, there was 8 teams that didn't participate in the bubble, so not a standard league guy. In the playoffs, he was better. I still played 30 minutes a night with 12 points. He is not someone that we want to rely upon as that guy that we saw, you know, chucking up those shots and getting that usage and even shooting as well as he did during the regular season when the majority of those games came as a member of the New York Knicks. So I think, you know, if Harrell becomes too expensive, then re-signing Morris, and they want to start him at the four, which I think is asinine, to be honest. Paul George and Kawhi should be your three and your four, not Marcus Morris. Again, Morris is, what's his ability there to be a guy that needs the ball to, you know, run plays and score? Well, that's not your job on this team. What is his role to be a good wing stopper? Well, again, do you got two better guys already in that starting lineup in George and Leonard? So I don't really see the purpose of Marcus Morris, unless it is to be a backup center. They should have gone with more backup center minutes for Marcus Morris in the playoffs behind Ivica Zubats. Maybe that can be his role, but he was played at a one-year $15 million deal from the Knicks last season. I wouldn't want to pay $15 million for him to come back onto this team. I just don't think his fit is all that good on this Clippers squad. So he's a player that you have to watch where he goes. But if he's on the Clippers, he's not a standard league guy. Probably not even close to a top 150, maybe even top 200 guy. That's debatable. But if he goes to a shithouse team where they say, we want you to be the number one player, which is asinine in itself, but it could happen, then that's where he gets marginal value as a top 100 guy. With the alleged unsatisfaction with Kawhi being load managed so often, will that impact Tyronn Lue's decision to do it, or are we in for more of the same due to injury concerns? I would be absolutely stunned if there is any change to Kawhi Leonard's injury management plan because Lou Williams, Patrick Beverley, and Montrezl Harrell cried about it. It's not about, you know, making Kawhi be a soft cock and, oh, he can't play, what a weak ass. It's not about that. It's about literally health, and it's coming through from doctors and medical staff. I still think, and I reckon he would have if there hadn't have been the pandemic break.
Ooh, it's a pandemic.
I reckon he would have played in a back-to-back this last season, and I will say it, that this 2020-2021 season, he will play in a back-to-back at some point. But I don't think that the Clippers organization and the medical staff and Kawhi and his team and the coaching staff is going to say, Pat, I know you had a cry about it, so Kawhi's going to play this one back-to-back. I just don't think that's going to be the case. And that was from a question there from Irv Dizzle and from Raculan, very similar questions. Matt Lawson, Clippers Dynasty ADPs, would you buy Kawhi at number 22? Jesus, that is low. Kawhi was the fifth ranked player on a per game basis this season. Fifth. He's 29 years of age. I know he has a degenerative quad condition. I know he misses games, but he did play 57 games, right? And even on a total rank for the course of the season, totals, he was the sixth ranked player playing 70 games. Now, some of that is including the playoffs overall, but that's still the sixth-ranked player. I'm going to bring up some other numbers there just to have a look at how that looks in terms of not including playoffs for Kawhi. But 22 it feels wildly low. Now, I know people are just going to hate on it, and there's probably going to be concerns with him and missed games more as he gets older. I think there is a risk of that. But if we have a look at what Kawhi did through the regular season in terms of total value, he was the eighth ranked player. 22 for a 29-year-old is ludicrous to me. I would happily take him in every dynasty league, even if I get 3 years or 2 years of him beating that number, and I'm pretty confident I will. It's ridiculously low. It needs a massive overreaction, as is Paul George at 32. What on earth is going on? Paul George was the 25th ranked player this season. He was not great, let's be honest, but he also played under 30 minutes a night this season. Paul George played under 30 minutes a night. He had multiple injuries. We know this, but he's not playing 30 minutes a night moving forward. And he was still better than that number. And he's just turned 30. He can have another 2-3 years better than this. Now, he might not ever get back to being that guy who was, I think, the third or fourth ranked player in his last year in Oklahoma City. He's not going to get back to that. But a second round top 20 player for 3 more years? Absolutely. Montrezl Harrell at 99. These Clippers Dynasty ADPs are all over the shop. Harrell was the 95th ranked player in 28 minutes a night. How much... this is going to depend on where he goes in free agency. I don't think Montrezl Harrell has a great shot at being a consistent top 100 player over the next 4 years. So I'd sell that one. If it's a Zubats at 145, and this one's interesting because he was 186 this year in only 18 minutes. If he plays 25 minutes, he'll smash that number. I'd buy it. Marcus Morris at... oh, so Lou Williams at 153. Lou Williams just turned 34 years of age. So it's hard to get too excited about Lou at this point. Yeah, look, it's okay, depending on how you've built the rest of your team. Marcus Morris at 209, I'd probably buy that. Landry Shamet at 216, I just don't think he's a good fantasy player. There were people hyping him up to be a top 100 guy for this last season. He is not going to be that player. He shoots threes, he shoots them well, didn't do anything else, and I don't think he's really got scope to do too much else from there, so I'm not sure about that. Beverly at 220. Beverly was 128th ranked player this year. He is 32 years of age, so that's a concern. I'd still probably buy him at 220. Fiondo Cabangale at 270. Now, his numbers are really, really interesting, really exciting. But some people who have watched him are like, I'm not actually sure this guy can cut it in the NBA. I'd take that risk at 268. Reggie Jackson at 280. He's 30 years of age. Is he ever going to get a starting job? Probably not. Actually, should never get another starting job in the NBA. I still would buy him at 280, at least for 1 year of top 200, actually top 250 value, maybe. Terrence Mann at 301, I'm not as excited with Mann as others are, but I think there's value there. And Jermichael Green at 344. Look, he's 30 years of age, Jermichael Green. Top 250 player this year, but do I want to take him at 344? There's probably some better options there. Although, again, depending on how your team looks, if you're in win-now mode, then you're going to get great value at 344. Carl Svevar, 15. Zubats' per 36 numbers are pretty good. Will he get more playing time with Ty Lue as his coach? Well, that's all going to depend on what happens in free agency. But I would be stunned if Zubats doesn't play more than 18 minutes a night. It might only be 20 minutes a night. It might be 22 minutes a night. But I would absolutely fall over if he doesn't play more than 18 minutes a night as we move forward. Guys, why would you waste your time, like the Clippers didn't waste any time firing Doc Rivers after their terrible exit from the playoffs? What would you waste your time going to a local auto store to get parts for your car? They can't stock every part imaginable for every make and every model of car that's around these days. The guy behind the counter, clickety-clacks on his keyboard, sorry mate, got to order it in, it's going to be 4 weeks. And then, as a further kick in the ass, he charges you more, sometimes up to double the price because you're not a professional. Screw that nonsense. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for the auto and body parts for your car from hundreds of manufacturers. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique. It's remarkably easy to navigate and quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and the prices you prefer, because at RockAuto.com, the prices are always reliably low, and they're the same for professionals and for do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, let's have a look at how the questions came in on the old Insta. All right, Lil Gert says, how will new coach Ty Lue impact the Clippers players' value? I don't think there's going to be massive changes for Kawhi and Paul George. They'll just do what they do. George will improve based on minutes and having an offseason, so he'll improve there. When Lue was his last full season coaching the Cavs, they had the 5th best offense and the 29th best defense. And it's obviously a really different team with LeBron, really half-assing it on defense in that season. But they were 12th in pace. And that's probably the most important part there. I think what we'll see is a change, but it's not necessarily going to be Lou-related. It might be free agency-related. But one thing we know, look, what Doc Rivers would do, he'd play Zubats like 3 minutes to start a second half and then play Montrezl Harrell the rest of the game. That shit is not going to happen. So that's the big change. Even if Harrell comes back, I think Zubats is going to play more minutes, whether that's an extra 5 or 6 or it's an extra 10. I don't know, but that's going to be a change. And that then also helps players like Beverly, like perhaps Morris, but not really, more Kawhi and George, because instead of Montrezl Harrell needing his usage or Lou Williams needing his usage, it goes to the players who are actually good. And then players like Zubats can do what they need to do defensively, get the rebounds, get the putbacks, the high efficiency shots, and do what they need to do in a more cohesive rotation and structure. So I think that probably helps him in that regard, because Doc's rotation decisions have been questionable for many, many years. going all the way back to his, I refuse to split up Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, so there are periods of the game where neither one of them is on the court. That nonsense, back to this Montrezl Harrell bullshit that he ran for this last season. Dal and Desfam, which Harrell is the real Harrell? Sixth man of the year Harrell or bubble Harrell? Well, let's get this out of the way. There's been a lot of Montrezl Harrell hate so far on this podcast. And it's not hate, it's just an honest representation of where he is. He's not the guy that struggled so much in the bubble. There were plenty of reasons for that. He had his grandmother pass away due to COVID. He wasn't in game shape, and he was terrible. We know that he was terrible. In the playoffs, he was the 143rd ranked player. He played just 19 minutes a game and averaged 10 points. He's never going to be a shot blocker. He's never going to be a passer. He's never going to be a shooter. What he is a second unit center who's high efficiency, high usage, and a pretty good rebounder. Not the greatest rebounder, pretty good rebounder. He averaged 19 and 7 on 24 usage. So getting a center that to average 19 points off the bench is where the value is. I don't see him being a 24% usage player in 28 minutes. He might be 25% usage in 22 minutes, but I really don't think that a factor in winning is getting him to be your third highest scorer and not being a good rim protector. And also not being a good free throw shooter. So I think it's somewhere in the middle between those two iterations of Harrell. PG Lava 89. Does Paul George's playoff performance affect his draft stock in redraft leagues? Yes, it is going to affect it. Should it? Probably not. George in the playoffs played 37 minutes a night. He averaged 20 points and he shot under 40% from the field. Like, that's terrible shooting. But he still had 6 boards, 4 assists, 1.5 steals, and hit 3 threes. If that field goal percentage goes back up, and he's not a hugely high field goal percentage player, but when it goes back up, he's going to be fine. So I think you're going to get Paul George at a big discount. I think he's got a real chance at another top 20 finish next season, and you're probably going to be able to draft him in the third round. And I think there's going to be value there. All right. Someone here asking a question and asking me to refer to them as G Nasty. Let's be honest, G Nasty, that's a terrible nickname, but I'll refer to you as actually you asked for it. Harrell, does he improve? No. How is he getting better from playing 28 minutes and averaging 19 points a game? In what scenario, if he's on the Clippers, is he getting better than that? Now, if he goes to another team, he might go to the Charlotte Hornets and they start him and play him 32 minutes. And yes, there is a huge possibility that he is better than that. But he, on a good team, he is not a player that should be playing this much or having this much usage. Job Sarmiento, when to buy out playoff P? The answer to that is literally never. That is one of the... Sorry, Job, but that is a ludicrous suggestion. Petter by Jensen. Zach Lowe thinks PG-13 is going to have a bounce-back year. What do you believe? Absolutely, I believe that. He said he played under 30 minutes a game and still averaged 22 points. He shot 41% from three. He averaged 4 assists and 1.5 steals. The playoff performance was bad, but I think we are completely ignoring the fact that he wasn't that bad during the season. He was the 25th ranked player under 30 minutes. Give him 33 minutes and he's back being the 15th, 16th ranked player averaging 25 points. With 7 boards and 1.6 steals. If you get upset about that, then I don't know what the hell we're even doing here. So, yes, he is having a bounce back. Does Ty Lue actually know how to coach from Paddy Scanlon? Or, I don't know. We have seen him with LeBron really doing a great job getting that locker room together, calling out LeBron at times, winning a championship, getting to the finals, and then LeBron left, and his team was absolutely shitful, and he was fired straight away, and the team looked absolutely uncompetitive. Everything I hear from people around the league who really study things with coaches and play calling, they like what he does from a tactical point of view. No one has anything bad to say about him from a personal or personnel perspective. This will be the real test to see how he does coach and what it looks like. But from all indications, yes, he seems to be a pretty good actual coach and tactician as well as a man manager. We'll see how that goes. Really constructive stuff here from my brother who says, why don't they just fuck off to Seattle? Hey, you'll have to take that up with Steve Ballmer. I'm sure the Seattle folks would like them up there. Let's have a look at this question. Yeah, Leon and Emily, will Montrezl Harrell be starting next season? Not on this team. I can pretty much guarantee you that. And Victor Chapano says, should I stop being a Clippers fan? No, you should not. If you're a Clippers fan, just stick with them. I think people are really panicking over that 3-1 loss, and it was shit house. But let's just see what happens over this next coming season. I'll be very interested to see how that goes down. All right, now let's have a look at the questions that you might have had on what's his name? What's the app I'm trying to think of? Twitter. That's the one. Let's have a look at those questions before we really get into the meat and potatoes of this show. All right. What do you think will happen with Montrez? Is there a team that could sign up his fantasy production? Yeah, Charlotte, potentially Detroit, if they don't move on from Christian Wood. There's a real chance there. David Williams, do you think Lou Williams will have any value next season other than later rounds, especially if they pick up another point guard? Lou Williams is 34 years of age. He was barely top 100 this year, and that was with Kawhi missing games and Paul George missing a chunk at the beginning of the season. I think it'd be unrealistic to expect Lou Williams to have an increase in value as we move forward. Trenton Clark, what point guard pickup would make the most sense? Derrick Rose, they'd have to trade for him. Obviously, he's not the greatest distributor, and I don't think the fit with Kawhi and Paul George really makes a ton of sense for Rose there. Rondo, regular season Rondo was one of the worst players in the NBA. In the playoffs, he definitely upped his game because he played better on defense. It wasn't every game, and he still had some stinkers. Would he be an upgrade over Patrick Beverley? I'm not sure that he would. Finding that right point guard option is going to be tough for them, I think. Let's have a look. Is Fiondu Cabangale worth a hold in Dynasty? Yeah, look, I would be holding him for sure. He's had 1 year, and his G League numbers were really impressive. And we're going to talk about that actually coming up really, really soon. But before I do that, Built Bar. It's back. It's the best tasting protein bar that you'll ever find. If you're having problems, like Patrick Beverley and Lou Williams crying in the locker room about Kawhi Leonard and his days off, and you need a pick-me-up that's not going to ruin your weight loss program, Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. 6 new flavors, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber protein bars. That is what Built Bar is known for, and that is what you're going to get when you get yourself a box of these delicious bars. One of the new flavors, cookies and cream, 17 grams of protein per bar, just 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar. Unbelievable. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, let's move in now and have a look at these players with a little bit more detail on their season that just expired. Of course, Kawhi, as I said, was the 5th ranked player in fantasy in 32 minutes a night, and he played 57 games. So he did miss a big chunk of time there. That was, I think, about 15 games total, but you know, we know that some of that, or nearly all of that, was some back-to-backs. And I think we've just got to realize that the number one thing we look at when schedule comes out, when viewing Kawhi from a fantasy perspective, is how many back-to-backs they have. I think he'll play one of them. His impact was massive. A 6.7 PIPM, 9.6 Raptor, 59 true shooting, 33 usage. He averaged 27, 7 and 5 with 1.8 steals. Like, those numbers are unbelievably good. And one of the key things in a head-to-head league, how many back-to-backs do the Clippers have in your fantasy playoffs? Because that is the difference. Now, you wouldn't want to draft him in the first round most likely, but if your fantasy playoffs fall and the Clippers have one back-to-back in the first week of those fantasy playoffs, you're getting a top 5 player at a second round price who's probably going to be firing on all cylinders around that March time, assuming you don't, or not March, you know, the time when you should have fantasy playoffs, because again, you shouldn't be playing fantasy basketball in the last 4 weeks of the season, 3 to 4 weeks of the season, so eliminate that nonsense. Kawhi is really good. And also, as I mentioned, over the course of the year, when we're looking at totals in terms of value, he was the 8th ranked player despite playing just the 57 games. So, yeah, some of that concern is a little bit overblown, and that's something to take into account when looking at roto leagues. And if he falls to pick 15 in a roto league, then you're absolutely, you're laughing. That is a really, really good value scenario. Paul George, we've talked about him a lot. His POPM was huge, 3.15. His Raptor was 6.3. These are massive numbers. 59 true shooting, 30 usage. He averaged 22 points in under 30 minutes a night. He shot 88 from the line. Yes, his numbers were down from that last season in Oklahoma City, George, but these are really good numbers. And you give him 2 extra minutes, 3 extra minutes, shit, 5 extra minutes is a possibility for Paul George if he doesn't enter the season injured and doesn't bang up something during the year. he's going to smash that number. And I think you're going to get some really, really strong value for Paul George heading into next season, as people are going to look at the playoffs, they're going to look at that rank from last season and look at it with context, and you're going to get a bargain, I think, with Paul George for next season. Lou Williams was the 92nd ranked player. Those advanced numbers are rough. Negative 1.75 PIPM and negative 0.5 Raptor for a 55 true shooting. I thought he'd actually be worse than this last season. He had an ADP of 88. I wouldn't touch him at all in the top 100. He averaged 18 points in 29 minutes with almost 6 assists. A lot's going to depend on what they do with Morris and Reggie Jackson, bringing those guys back. Do they bring another point guard in? Does Lou, instead of playing 29 minutes, go to 26 minutes? How does Ty Lue view Williams as a player in a rotation piece? I reckon there's a chance he drops off a little bit, especially at age 34, and he's probably going to be that low upside guy that's going to provide you really good free throw percentage value and scoring with some assist, and that can be valuable. But if he goes down to 25 minutes a night, he just is going to be a back-end guy. And like I've said multiple times, he's already 34, so the arse is going to fall out of his game at some point pretty soon. The table, Montrezl Harrell. Big Raptor, 3.2, negative in PIPM, 61 true shooting, 95th ranked player. He was always going to disappoint, I think, at the ADP that he was at, which was 81, and he did. Yeah, he missed out on that by a round. He's only 26, so he's not super old. He's an unrestricted free agent, as we know. 28 minutes, 19-7 with a block per game. The big appeal to him is field goal percentage, which is 58%. That's not really going to change in terms of efficiency, but the value in that is going to fluctuate depending on how many shot attempts he had. 13 shot attempts per game meant that was a really, really strong value category for him. He goes to another team, and that is instead 13 attempts, it's 16 attempts. Then he probably does push the top 60. If he stays on this Clippers team and he plays 24 minutes a night and gets 10 field goal attempts per game, then he's probably outside the top 120. So there are massive wild fluctuations here in Harrell. I don't think that if you are a good team, you want him playing 30 minutes a night, but he is most likely, and the teams with cap space, he is likely to go to a bad team if he leaves the Clippers, and that will play him more minutes, and he will get those opportunities, and you'll get a couple of seasons where he could crack the top 50, and if you had him in Dynasty, I would sell the shit out of him, because I just don't see that being a long-term winning strategy, and he might have a couple of good years and then he finds himself really limited overall. And that's one way to, I think, you look at Harrell. I think he's significantly overrated as a contributor to winning basketball, even though the numbers will probably be, if he leaves the Clippers, significantly improved for this coming season. Marcus Morris. Like I've said earlier, that 102nd ranked player for the year is misleading, because the vast majority of that came as he was a member of the New York Knicks. In that time, after he came across at the trade deadline, he was the 227th ranked player. He averaged 10 points per game and shot 42% from the field, including 31 from three. Now, I expect that is the low point and he will shoot better from three. In the playoffs, he shot 48% from three. In the bubble games, he shot 38% from three. So I think 38 is a more realistic expectation, and he can be maybe a top 150 guy, but he's not going to be the player that we saw from him as a member of the Knicks. He too could also go to another team, but I highly doubt that'll be the case. I think we'll be back, even if I have concerns with how he fits alongside Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. But he's going to be just a back-end waiver wire type guy for most teams. He is 31 as well, so we have to remember that he is not super young. Yeah, strong Raptor, strong PIPM, yeah, pretty good true shooting. It was a strong season from Morris, but does that actually make sense on a team like the Clippers, and will he be able to replicate that? Probably not. Next up is Patrick Beverley, who gets a lot of hatred. He played 26 minutes a night. He was 128th ranked player. That's really bloody good efficiency. 8 points per game only. Why was he so highly ranked? Well, what he did was he got you a steal a game. He hit 1.6 threes. He got 5 boards. He had 3.6 assists. Just sort of filling in little gaps here and there. Now, it's nothing exciting, and he's probably not a guy that you want to really focus in on drafting. He is 32 years of age. He's had numerous injury problems. He was shithouse in the bubble. And in the playoffs, he played 21 minutes a night as he was dealing with that injury. So again, like Paul George, don't base your evaluation on Beverley versus what happened in the playoffs. Same with Montrezl Harrell or in that bubble scenario, because Beverley wasn't healthy at all. He played 8 games in the playoffs, 21 minutes a night, and averaged 6 points. He was still the 77th ranked player in the playoffs. Better than Lou Williams, better than Zubats, better than Montrezl Harrell. because he was able to get or shoot 51% from the field somehow, hit a three and get four rebounds. So provide some value there. He's probably going to be a fringe back end player. But a lot, look, if they do decide to get an upgrade at point guard, then it's going to hurt him. There's 26 minutes a night that he played. They might go down to 23 minutes a night, and then you're going to want nothing to do with him in that top 150. Ivica Zubac, the 186th ranked player. PIPM, huge, 3.26. Raptor, 4.6, massive. True shooting, 65%. I've been saying this for years. This guy is really good. 61% shooting, 0.9 blocks in 18 minutes. If he plays 25 minutes a night, we are looking at a 12 and 9 sort of a player with 1.5 blocks on 61% shooting. He's a good free throw shooter. He is a clear top 100 candidate, depending on what Ty Lue wants to do. Zubac is not even 24 years of age yet, so his best basketball is 3 or 4 years away still. He, to me, absolutely is a dynasty buy who should be getting more minutes. This is the time. There is no better time for Zubac to get more minutes than this coming season with the potential of Harrell leaving, with the way that Harrell played in the playoffs, with the way that Zubac played in the playoffs. You'd have to be absolutely foolish to ignore that impact. And he's not going to be a 33-minute-a-night player. If he is, then I will be here knocking over this table hands-free. He will be unbelievable if that's the case. It's just not going to happen, you know, in 99.9% of simulations. That's just not going to be the case. But give him 25 and he's a top 100 guy with some real value. You know I love Zubac. I've loved him for a long time. And I think he's still going to continue to get better from here on out. Reggie Jackson, he was the 201st ranked player this year, despite, you know, playing some of that time with the Pistons. Only 24 minutes a night because he was injured for big chunks of the year. 12 points, inefficient, no steals, no blocks, low assists, not a good rebounder. Hit 39% from three, so that's encouraging. But on this team, is he the answer to at point guard versus Patrick Beverley? No, he shouldn't be a starting point guard really anywhere in the NBA, in my opinion, at this point in his career. His advanced stats aren't terrible, but he's not a great shooter. But he's too high usage to fit alongside Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. He's not a good defender. He's not that much of a knockdown shooter or a high-volume three-point shooter either, although he has worked really hard to improve those shooting numbers. I just don't really see all that much to excite me about Reggie Jackson as an unrestricted free agent here. As a backup, sure, but really not going to be knocking the socks off the top 150. Jermichael Green, 233rd ranked player. Green has a $5 million player option. He could make more than that. You could make arguments he was the second best center on this team. He played some pretty good defensive roles at times this year, but I thought that he was limited by Doc Rivers' weird insistence on Harrell, weird insistence on Morris, weird insistence on Patrick Patterson at times, for God's sake. Green played 21 minutes a night, 39% three-point shooter, averaged 7 and 6. He's never a big defensive stats guy or hyper-efficient, but he hits threes. He's a really valuable player in terms of NBA basketball. It's not always going to translate across to the fantasy realm, but he could have another top 250 season. I don't think that's crazy. Landry Shamet, 265th ranked player, really struggled in the bubble, especially as he was returning from a COVID diagnosis. He was pretty shithouse in the playoffs, 19 minutes in the playoffs for 5 points per game. He's a guy, again, that people had hopes for to really play a large role, and he ended up playing 27 minutes a night, and he was the 265th ranked player. He averaged 9 points and he hit 2 threes, and those 2 threes are great, but he does like literally nothing else. He had under 2 rebounds, under 2 assists, under 0.5 steal, shot 40 from the field and 86 from the line, which is great, on 1 attempt per game. He hit his threes at 38%. I don't think he's taken enough of those. That's a bit unfair. He did take 76% of his shots from three, which is a high amount. And that's what he is. He's a three-point streamer. Can he ever get the volume to be a JJ Redick three-point streamer, a Duncan Robinson three-point streamer? Because I don't think he's got really much else to his game. Maybe there's some pick-and-roll ability, but I doubt he's ever going to have the ball in his hands enough to generate those numbers. Shamet is going to be that streamer. It's one of those guys, hey, I need threes, who do I get? Hey, let's add Landry Shamet in for a week or 2 days, and he'll get me 6 threes in 3 games, or 2 games, potentially, for Shamet. But outside of that, his overall game is pretty limited. He's going to turn 24 next season, so he's not super old, but he's not super young as a second-year player, but he will continue to improve over the coming seasons. I just don't think his fantasy upside is all that high. Patrick Patterson, I don't know why this bloke played as much as he did. 404th ranked player. He started games for this team, played 13 minutes, averaged 5 points, shot 41%. He's a good shooter. Absolutely nothing defensively in terms of stats or rebounds or anything. And I don't really understand why he played as much as he did this year. He's an unrestricted free agent, and don't be shocked if he's not on a roster next season. Joakim Noah. He did play for the Clippers, and if you didn't pay attention in the bubble, he was there. He was playing. He played 5 games, 10 minutes a night. Amazingly, he shot 75% from the line, considering he was about a 2% free throw shooter at some point over the last couple of years. Didn't really do much in terms of defensive numbers. He had that little run with Memphis at the end of the season before, where he was putting up some okay numbers, but he didn't play really at all in the playoffs. He played like 2 minutes combined in the playoffs. Could he move into a role if Green, Patterson, Harrell all leave? Maybe. He's going to be 36, though, and any hope of Joakim Noah being a top 100 player is out the window. 200, out the window. 300, maybe. But at this point, let's just reminisce about the good times about Joakim Noah, because they're not coming back. Go, 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 go. Who's next? Next is Scooter Magruder, the 419th ranked player. Rodney Magruder didn't really play a huge amount this season. I thought they could have used him more than they used someone like a Patrick Patterson, for example. Magruder, just 16 minutes, 3 points per game, shot horribly. True shooting of, 48%, which is horrendous. Negative Raptor, negative PIPM. I'd like to see him get a little bit more playing time, but he's never going to be someone who really moves the needle for fantasy at all. Fiondo Cabangale, 435th ranked player. Raptor was +5. That's huge. The minutes he played, though, was so small. 12 games, 5 minutes a night. So let's kick it over and have a look what he did in the G League. His G League PIPM, also big. 2.78. That is a huge, huge number. What about his G League stats? Well, I'm glad you asked. 31 minutes a night. 19 points, 9 rebounds, 33% from 3, but attempted 6 per game, so he hit 2 of them. He blocked almost 2 shots and got over a steal per game. Now, that is absolutely enticing. There are concerns from some that watch him. Maybe he's not strong enough. Maybe he's not a good enough defender to be playing center. But those numbers should absolutely get you interested to see what he can do. Is he someone that they push up into that backup center role behind Zubats now if they let Harrell go? I'd be hyper excited to see it. A bloke that's hitting 2 threes a game, blocking 2 shots a game, scoring in pretty high usage. And he came in from Florida State with a similar sort of statistical profile, and it carried over to the G League. Do I ever think he's going to be a 19-9 guy in the NBA? No. It's not outrageous. Is there a... Look, if I had to say whether he or Jermichael Green or Patrick Patterson are ever going to achieve that, then it's clearly going to be Cabangale. If I had to say whether it's him or Jonathan Motley that's going to achieve that, it's clearly him. If I had to say whether it's going to be him or Marcus Morris that would achieve that, it's probably Cabangale, because Morris is never going to block 2 shots per game. The likelihood of him becoming that good is limited. It might be 10%, but it's still worth looking at on a team that has limited young players, whether he's included in a trade and goes somewhere. He's just a name to watch, because those G League numbers absolutely bounce off the page, as does some of his forward projection stuff, and as do some of his numbers coming in from Florida State. And that ability to stretch out, hit threes, do it at volume, as well as play defense and be a decent usage player is really, really interesting for Cabangale. Next up is Terrence Mann, who played point guard in the preseason, and we got super hyped. We saw him do it in Summer League as well. Had, I think, a triple-double and was averaging like 10 rebounds and 10 assists, some stupid numbers like that. He had opportunities this season, didn't really do much with them. Negative 1.61 PIPM, 55 true shooting. In the end, his overall body of work, 41 games, 9 minutes, 2 points, 1.3 assists with 47% shooting. But he's not the greatest of shooters. In his 20 G League games, he averaged 15 points. But the numbers that we want to look at is what he did with rebounding and assists. 9 boards, 6 assists, 1.2 steals. Like, that is the intriguing part. He is like a Russell Westbrook type in that he gets rebounds and assists and good steals as a point guard, but doesn't shoot the ball well. Just 2.6 three-point attempts per game in 35 minutes in the G League at 33%. And he's not that high of a usage player. But there is some utility there. with some, you know, really interesting skill sets and combinations of skills in terms of statistical stuff that he's at least worth keeping an eye on. I don't think he's as high upside as what Cabangale is, but absolutely there is some value in Terrence Mann just looking at him in deeper leagues. John Motley, 464th ranked player, 3.4 Raptor in the NBA with a 77 true shooting is huge, but he barely played. He's this specialist that has always seemed to be, hey, in the late April games when we're tanking, can you come in and play 30 minutes a night and average 20 and 10? And he's done that in the past. I think that we're looking at him as someone who is probably not going to do that anymore. He's 25 and a half at the moment. He averaged 24 and 8 in the G League with a block per game. He attempts a small amount of threes and hits them all right. What he is just a massive high-volume scorer that he's never going to have that opportunity in the NBA. So I think we can rule out him being any sort of high-level player, restricted free agent as well. The last guy we're going to take a look at is the Farmers Union, Amir Coffey, 469th ranked player with a negative 3.1 Raptor, 49 true shooting. We just didn't see much of Coffey in the NBA, 9 minutes a night. But when he did play, I thought he showed some flashes. I didn't think that he was completely outclassed. His 0.26 G League PIPM is okay. He only played 16 G League games. He averaged 15 points. He shot 40% from three on almost five attempts. He didn't do really much else apart from that. He's a 6'7 guard. There's maybe hopes that he could be a defensive guard type like a Magruder on this team, like a Dorian Finney-Smith, but that's not necessarily going to translate into great fantasy numbers. So Amir Coffey, the last guy we're talking about there, yeah, I think lower upside than Mann and Cabangale on this Clippers team. That'll do it for me today talking about the LA Clippers. Guys, tomorrow we're looking at the NBA champion Los Angeles Lakers. So get your questions in if you do have them on Twitter, on Instagram, and of course in the Discord server. Subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. Leave a comment down below. Tell me whatever nonsense you want in those comments, guys. We are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.